When Ron Van Dam talks, people listen. And then they say, what the hell is this guy going on about? You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, that's enough.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'll be Ron Van Dam for a little while. We'll make believe that's who I am. And I'll entertain you and inform you and do all kinds of things to you that you had no idea anybody could do to you. Those of you who are playing the lottery last night for Lucky for Fish, here are the winning numbers. And of course, the jackpot last night is $25 million. Let's see if anybody got it. Hold your tickets. Here we go. 7, 9, 27, 32, 82, 97, 109. 110, 1,273, 5,672, 7,771. Oh no, you missed it by one. Unfortunately, nobody last night won the car, so... Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Make yourself comfortable. Take your shoes off. Not your pants, your shoes. Oh my God, you've got a problem with listening, don't you? I'll tell you what kind of problem I have with listening. I never won a Simon Says contest. Do you remember Simon Says? What an horrifically horrible game that was. That was introduced to me in nursery school, I think, when I couldn't even talk or understand what anybody was saying. Some poor ego-boosting schmuck would stand in front of the classroom, and they would be Simon, I don't know. And Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, turn to the left. I had no idea what the left was. Simon says, move your head down. Simon says, now lift your leg. Simon didn't say lift your leg. I didn't say Simon Says. You're out. You're out. You're outcasted. You're out of the club. You are divided from the team. You are a loser. Sit down. Get out of the way. Other people are playing. You stupid little schmucky, inconsiderate little piece of crap. Simon Says was a cruel game. Oh, yes. And in kindergarten, they did some horrible games to the kids in kindergarten. They had there were six little circles that they had magnets on them, and they went on a board, and one of them was like a sandwich, and the next one was a drink, and the next one was a pimple, and all kinds of things. And the teacher would cover them up or tell us to cover our eyes, and she would take one of those little circles away, and we had to figure out which one she took away. I could never figure that out. What's missing, children? The car? No, there was no car on the board. What's missing, children? One of the circles? Yes, but which one? The one you took away? Yes, I know the one, but which one did I take away? The one that's not there anymore? Oh, my God. Let's play Simon Says. Come on. in kindergarten, oh, it was like being in the armed services without the guns. In kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher, and what kind of personality do you need to be a kindergarten teacher? It's militaristic, but it's not. She would play marching music. John Philip Sousa. No one would have marched without this man. This man composed marches. That was his job. I don't know how he got the job. That was his job. So the kindergarten teacher would play, and it was always a woman. The kindergarten teachers were always women back when I was going to school, back in the 1700s. They play the John Philip Sousa, and we'd get now kids, get up from your desk, push your chairs in, push it. God, we don't want anybody tripping over a chair that was left out. Push your chairs in. And now I'm going to start the music, and I want you to march around the classroom. And if you don't, you'll be executed. What? That's a little harsh for not marching. Goose step, by the way. I want goose steps. I was forced to march. And then when I got into grade school, I was forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance. What is that? I thought this was a democracy. I have to stand up, push my chair in, place my hand over my heart, wherever the hell that is, and recite something that somebody wrote for me and mean it. I didn't think this was a dictatorship, although for the past 4 years it seemed like it. They forced me, and if I didn't stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance, they would these people would come into the room, take me away, and throw me into isolation. How can you in a democracy demand that somebody stand up? What you don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance? Well, how about if I take some of your toenails off? You can't make me recite something and mean it. Oh, yes, we can. Do you ever want to see your family again? And the answer to that was usually, not necessarily. Not necessarily, no. Actually, that's not a threat. That's a vacation. Yeah, school was like, oh, man. I remember my crush, my first crush on a teacher. It was in second grade in New Jersey. And believe me, second grade in New Jersey is an amazing thing. Second grade in Connecticut, not so much. Second grade in New Jersey, whoa, really? I remember the first day of school, the second grade, I was sitting in a chair. We had done the Pledge of Allegiance at gunpoint. And I remember the teacher it was Mrs. Brown or Miss Brown. I don't know if she was married or not. Didn't really care at that point. I was in second grade. I know the difference. She was pretty. She was pretty. She was one of the few teachers in the entire school that wore her hair down. Chicka bow wow, baby. All the other teachers had their hairs in bouffants and buns. Oh, my God. But this teacher had her hair down, and I don't know what she was trying to solicit from the second graders, but, man, it turned me on. And I had a thing for Mrs. Brown. And here's the funny part about it. When a child has a crush on a teacher, the child does very well in school because the kid pays attention. Every word that came out of Mrs. Brown's mouth, I heard, and I turned it into some type of a fantasy. I mean, I heard everything she said, and as a result, I did rather well that year in school. It's probably one of the best years of grades I ever had because I paid attention to her in every way and manner in every move she made. Well, too bad we don't have that song, Every Move She Makes. I'll be watching you. It wasn't sick in any sense. Everybody who goes to school in their younger grades have a crush on the teacher. whether you be a male or a female. I mean, there can be a hunky man, usually the science teacher. And man, do you pay attention in that class? Whoa, do you pay attention? Which leads me to believe that teachers should be hot, not temperature-wise, but appearance-wise. If teachers appeared in front of a classroom and they were like really good-looking teachers, man, they were like, whoa, that's a good-looking teacher, I think kids would do better in school because they would pay ultimate attention to that teacher. But does anybody listen to my views on education? Rarely, if ever, they never do. Teachers, start dressing hot, man. Start looking good. Your students will pay attention like you wouldn't believe. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Let's move to the subject of buns. Now, I'm not talking about your ass cheeks. And I'm not talking about the pastries that they sell in bakeries and at strange little fast food places. No, I'm not talking about those buns. I'm talking, and not the buns of steel. I'm not talking about those either. I'm talking about taking your hair and gathering it up on top of your head and forming a pastry-like bun with your hair and putting it on top of your head. Ladies, no. And it's funny because when I talk about this, because I don't like bun, I don't like hair buns. I don't. It's like you're purposely saying, "Don't look at me, don't touch me." I have no idea what I'm doing with my appearance. That's what it says to me. When I say to the ladies, why do you wear your hair in a strange, pathetic bun like that? Why do you choose to put a knot on the top of your head? What? How do you think that that is attractive? Ponytail it, do something, but don't swirl it in a bun. That's just weird. Every time I mention that to a woman, her response is, yeah, but it's nice to get the hair off of my head there, and you know, get it off my shoulders. It's easy. It's a good feeling. I like it. I feel more mobile and stuff like. Yes, that may be true, but you look adorable, not adorable, adorable. Funny how letters can change the meaning of a word quite quickly. Does every man feel this way? I can't talk for every man. I can't do dialects and change my voice to talk like every man does. But it's like the vaccines. 95%, they don't like it. They like the hair down. If you got hair that can be down and you're a woman, get it down. Don't swirl it on top of your head. They do this at weddings for some reason, and I don't understand why that is. In a wedding, you are in front of other people that are all dressed up, and for some reason the bridesmaids, and sometimes the bride, choose to go for the ugliest hairstyle possible. They'll spend thousands of dollars on getting their hair done for the wedding day, and nobody says, excuse me, you're spending this much money, but you look like a matron in a bathroom in a movie theater. You don't look good with your hair up. Nobody ever did. But for some reason, at a wedding, let's look beautiful, but not. I don't get it. I don't get. If I were a groom and my bride was wearing her hair up on that special day, and if the priest or the rabbi or the baker or the candlestick maker on the altar said, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, I would say, not looking like that, I don't. And that would cause a ruckus. I don't know what a ruckus is. I think I've seen them, but I really don't. I don't know. Ruckus is a word I've probably not ever said before in my life. Get rid of the bun, kids. Seriously. There's so many other ways to do things with your hair. Don't pile it on the top of your head. That's just so you're piling your hair on the top of your head and fascinating. It's just fascinatingly ridiculous. Should you live your life according to my tastes and desires? Sure you should. Why not? I matter. Ron's life matters. So does yours, by the way. All right, how you doing? By the way, this is the Friday weekend edition of the program, which means it's Friday or the weekend when this edition came out. That's how we know which is which. I have never in my life, whether I'd been in school, gotten married, had a job, no matter what the circumstance or the stage of life, I have never been more unaware of what day of the week it was. I am it's funny. Sometimes we act stupid even though the question is not all that stupid, but it sounds stupid. Do you ever go into a doctor's office or you have to sign a piece of paper in a business or something or a document or sign a check, you know, make out a check to somebody and you look up at them as you're making out the check or filling out the document and you say to them, what's today's date? You sound really stupid when you do that. I know you legitimately don't know what date it is, but asking it sounds really stupid. It comes only second to, I'm making out the check here. Do you know where I am? Do you know my first name? I can't recall. What day is this? What planet am I on? What am I doing here? Why did I walk into the room? I can't remember. Don't ask people what date it is when you're filling out a document. It makes you sound real stupid, like you're not capable of actually filling out the document at all or writing the check. Don't ask what day it is. Just figure it out or, you know, find out ahead of time. It just really sounds dumb. It sounds like you're the stupidest person on the earth. And you're probably not. You could be, but you're probably not. But the question is just stupid. What day is this? I don't even know. I have no idea. What day is this? I don't even know. It's weird. I was talking to a friend yesterday on the telephone. It's the best way of talking to a friend when they're not in front of you. Kidding. I'm kidding. Maybe, kind of. Maybe not. I was talking and she said that she walked into the kitchen that morning, and when she got into the kitchen, she actually stopped and stood there in the middle of the kitchen and said, "Why did I come into the kitchen? I can't remember why I came into the kitchen. What did I come in here to get or to do? I was driven to the kitchen. Here I am. I've walked into the kitchen because I knew this is where I wanted to go, and now I don't know why I'm here. I forgot." It's a scary, scary feeling. Did that ever happen to you? Excuse me. Are you sleeping? Oh my God, are you sleeping while I'm talking? That's insulting. And take that bun off your head. And by the way, it's the weekend. Whew, Lord. Yeah, and I said to her, you know, don't be concerned that you're losing your mind. It's you've done that all your life. I remember when I was a young adult, you know, I had gotten my first apartment. I remember walking into the kitchen and saying to myself, oh, now what did I want to get? I can't remember what I came into the kitchen for. I remember doing that then. But then when you get older and that happens, then you go, oh my God, I'm getting old. I'm losing my mind. Well, you are. But not because you walked in the kitchen and don't know why you're there. That's different.
because we've been doing that all our lives. Don't you remember when you were young, you would all of a sudden walk around the apartment and you would say, where am I going to put my keys? I can't find my keys. Oh my God, where are my keys? Same thing. Were you losing your mind because of senility at the age of 20? No. There are various situations that make you forgetful. It doesn't mean that you have a loss of brain cells, although you do. That was like one of the weirdest things that I found out through an interview. I do a lot of interviews on this show, quite obviously. And I remember one of the guests say, we're talking about memory loss, which is always fun to do. Yeah, have a few drinks, get inebriated, and then talk about memory loss. That's a good time. That's a good time. Talking about memory loss, and this doctor said, you know, as you get older, your brain cells die, and they don't ever come back. And I thought, well, this is pleasant. This is fun. This is a good time. It's probably true. That's not a pleasant thing to, I don't know. So I'm nurturing the brain cells I have left. I've opened up a gym membership for them at Planet Fitness. It was only $10 a month with no commitment. Hey, whenever a gym membership says there's no commitment, they're doing two things. First of all, they're admitting that they have commitment problems. The people don't join gyms because they don't want to commit to them. and secondly, you can't get out of gym memberships if you do have a commitment. I don't trust them. When gym memberships say it's $10 a month with no commitment, my response is, bullshit, there's a commitment. I know it's hidden somewhere. I don't know how you're doing it, but if I join you, I'll never be able to get out. And I know that for a fact because your track record sucks. Do you remember Domino's Pizza? Apparently you stack the boxes next to each other and it's a game. I don't know how they came up with that name. Domino's Pizza. Their pizza sucked, and all the reviews, this was like 5-10 years ago, all the reviews about Domino's pizza was, yeah, they deliver, or you can pick it up at their little stores, but their pizza sucks. It's inexpensive. It's like $5 for a pizza, which translates into it sucks. And all the reviews, you would look at the Yelp reviews and, you know, under Domino's Pizza and would say, this pizza sucks. It was awful. And then Domino's Pizza, the president of Domino's Pizza about 5 years ago or something like that, they do a television commercial, a national television commercial, and the president says, I know in the past our pizza has sucked. You admit that? You admit you were selling pizza that sucked? But now, and then the president says, but now it's good. Now it's good. So get it now. I know it sucked before, but we just figured that out. You know, we read a review and said, oh my God, some people don't like this pizza. To me, it hasn't changed much. I'm not a big pizza eater because I don't understand it. It's dough with a little spot of sauce, not a lot of sauce. It's dough with a little sauce on it and cheese, and they put it in an oven, and it somehow turns out to be $15. The most expensive thing about pizza is the pizza oven, because you have to apparently bake it at like 2,000 degrees, like, you know, nuclear fusion temperatures. It's the oven that's expensive. Other than that, the ingredients, nada. I mean, pizza should literally be like 5 cents a slice, literally. But it's not, and that's a problem. All right, look, I do have a few guests coming up today. They're not bombastic by any stretch of the imagination. They're going to try to sell you something. And I'll tell you, it's informational, but it also is available for sale. I don't condone this kind of behavior. I simply say, look, I got to earn a living too, so all right, I get it. There's some ideas for spring and how to spruce out your home and that kind of stuff. Might be some good ideas in there. Maybe you want to partake in their products. I don't care. All I'm saying is I don't endorse any of this. Oh, Mrs. Brown, second grade. Can you believe her? Jeez. No bun. She understood it. She got the theory. Mrs. Brown knew there was buns were silly. And every other teacher was wearing a bun, except for Mrs. Brown. She got it, man. She got it. All right, spruce up your home. Various ideas coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me. Naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked. I do the work naked. You pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Good morning.
Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. Elizabeth Werner is here, and she's a toy expert and a lifestyle expert, and you put them together, and we're going to talk about toys. Interestingly enough, I usually talk about toys around the holidays, around the Christmas and that kind of thing. Earth Day is coming up, and we're going to be talking about toys. How does that happen?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, the toy industry has really committed to working towards sustainability and raising awareness for our children environmentally. So I brought along some really fun toys to share with you today that are going to help teach our children about recycling. And actually, several of them are made from amazing sustainable materials.
Okay, let's get to it.
All right, so let's jump right in with Paw Patrol Rocky Reuse It Truck, brought to us by Spin Master. For the many of you who have little ones in your lives that love Paw Patrol, Rocky is one of the pups in the show, and he's famous for saying, "Don't lose it, reuse it." Well, this is the Reuse It Truck. It's an actual recycled truck that's got lots of fun moving parts and accessories for the kids to play with. And we know that through play, kids can learn, and now they're going to be learning about recycling. Well, Spin Master, the company that makes this amazing item, actually has a recycling program with TerraCycle. So parents and kids can send in Spin Master's well-loved toys and games, so once they've been used and played with an awful lot, to be recycled and then transformed into things like playgrounds and park benches. You can actually send in products themselves or the packaging. It's very easy to sign up with. Head over to the Spin Master website and you'll learn all about the TerraCycle repurposing and recycling program, which is amazing.
Okay. All right. What's next on the line?
Yes. So VTech and Leapfrog are launching a variety of green electronic learning products in 2021. One great example is Leapfrog is introducing its first wooden toys made with wood from well-managed forests. And when plastic's incorporated, that plastic is made from 90% reclaimed materials. So a lot less waste heading to our landfills. A couple of the items, the Touch and Learn Nature ABC board. This is about the size of a tablet. It's got the feel and look of a beautiful wooden toy, but it's got amazing curriculum built in and lots of interactivity. There is an on-off switch with some cool electronics built in, an LCD screen. And when the children are pushing the different buttons and things they see on the actual board itself, they'll be working on their letters, their numbers, which all, of course, come to life on a big LCD screen. So a lot of fun. They also have an interactive wooden animal puzzle that will be coming out. This is a traditional puzzle, but it's also got electronics built in, lots of fun play modes. They're going to be learning about animals, animal sounds. They're also going to be working on colors, counting, and Spanish. So amazing that these items are made from great sustainable materials and definitely something to look for. Now, have you ever heard, Ron, of a company called Green Toys?
I have not, but I can imagine what they're about.
So the name gives them away. You can look them up online. But their items are made in the United States from 100% recycled plastic with no BPA, phthalates, or PVC. Uh-huh. They're packaged with actually recycled and recyclable materials. And one of the items that I found that is just adorable, so much fun for the kids, is a double-decker Green Toys car carrier. So this is an actual truck. It's got two working ramps, space for three mini cars. It actually comes with the cars as well. And when I say mini cars, they actually fill the palm of my hand. So they're not tiny. They're a nice sizable car. This is great for both indoor and outdoor play, encourages motor skill development, and of course, some imaginative and creative play. So Green Toys, definitely something you can talk about with your kids, that these come from 100% recycled plastic and how that is saving a lot of waste moving into our landfills. Now, finally, one of my favorite things to do in the summer with my four children, we love water balloon fights. But we know traditional water balloons were not great for the environment. Right. So Crazy Zuru Bunch of Balloons. If you haven't seen Bunch of Balloons, Ron, before, you've got to check them out online. This is amazing. They are the best-selling water balloons because they actually fill and tie 100 balloons in 60 seconds. They're self-tying. So these have a nozzle on the top that can be connected to your hose or your faucet in your house and little straws that lead down to the balloons with self-tying little knots on there. So when you turn the water on, you fill them up to about 3 inches. They then self-tie, come off of that little device, and you are ready for your water balloon fight. Well, these are now made from 100% recycled plastic and are 100% recyclable. So after you have your water balloon fights with your little ones, you can sign up with TerraCycle online, package up all those used pieces and even the packaging, ship them off for free, and know that they are going to be recycled and transformed again into cool things like playgrounds and park benches.
Very, very good. When your child is old enough to understand what recycling is and how dangerous plastics can be, I think what you're saying here is it's okay to tell your child the background of this particular product and how it's changing the environment in a positive way. I guess that's something that they should be learning.
I think it's important that, you know, as we move forward as adults, we start to think about things like that. Years ago, we all used plastic bags when we were grocery shopping, but we're now using recycled bags or paper bags. Mm-hmm. So each day we get to make these choices, and I think it's very important to share these choices with our kids and begin to teach them these lessons.
It is. That's what education is about, and they should be talked to in that manner. It's a part of education, so that's a good thing. Well, very good. I know there's a place to go to get more information on these toys. I'm sure there is.
Yes, you can go to our website, which is WernerInfo.com.
Perfect. And that we can follow you there and all that stuff?
Yes, absolutely. You can follow me there or on Elizabeth Werner TV on Facebook and Instagram.
Hi, Ron. Great to meet you.
Hi, Bailey. How you doing?
I'm well. Excited to be here this morning.
Well, that's fantastic. We're excited to have you here. Bailey Carson is the head of Book Now, and we're talking about the Angie Brands, Home Advisor powered by Angie, the whole bit. We'll talk about that in a second. But we're basically talking about, it's the spring kind of mindset where you want to do for your home. Actually, it's been like that for over a year, but you know, we'll say it's the spring. Your environment is everything, especially now, and it probably will stay that way. So we're looking to take our homes inside and out and make them better.
Absolutely. At Angi, we are your ally and home for every, and your home for everything home. We want, really want you to love where you live. And as you said, 2020 was a pretty incredible year. We spent more time in our homes than we probably thought we ever would. And this year hasn't been much different so far, but if you're like me, definitely looking forward to getting outside, hoping to do a little socializing, and just having a refresh with this spring in general.
Yeah, yeah. Socializing part, not so much for me, but that's besides the point. Let's start inside the home, because I know we psychologically feel better when we have a handle on things, and that's why this has been difficult. But when you have a handle on something in your control, you feel good. What do you consider to be the center of the home, room-wise?
I think it's the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I mean, as restaurants haven't really been an option for us this past year, my guess is that everybody's been spending a lot more time in their kitchen, even if it's just plating takeout.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some great updates you can make to your kitchen to make it more accessible and a more pleasant place to be on just about any budget. Mm-hmm. So you could do something as simple as rearranging where things are, putting the plates and the silverware in a more convenient spot, making sure that it's easy for you to find what you need. Or you could change out your backsplash. That's a great high-impact project that's pretty low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to sort of go all the way, you could think about a kitchen remodel. And bringing in a pro from Angi to help you get that project done.
Yeah, I heard that putting in a kitchen island makes it a meeting place. It ups the value of the home. It adds, because people like that these days. Kitchen islands are big things, and they don't have to have plumbing in them and everything. Nice if it does, but if it doesn't, it's still a thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you're completely right that kitchens have the ability to really increase the value of your home.
Yeah.
So when you think about a budget to remodel a kitchen or even a bathroom, this is probably more than going to pay back in what you'll get if you ever choose to sell your home.
Yeah. Okay, let's go outside. It's a nice day. Let's go. Look at my lawn. It's, we're in the Northeast here, and the winter does things to your lawn. So how do I even tackle this deal?
Yes, you're right. It can be a little daunting coming out of winter and the mess that might be in your yard. Right now at Angi, we're seeing a ton of demand for general maintenance on the exterior of your home and the lawn. So things like gutter cleaning, making sure that you've got any cracks in your foundation or leaks in your roof fixed ahead of the rainy season. I understand in Boston you've got some rainy days coming up, which is sort of classic spring.
Well, I hope so.
So anything you can do to get ahead of that and fix things before you actually have a water damage issue, it's really smart. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the basic yard cleanup. So getting all the leaves out of flower beds, getting that first lawn mowing done are sort of the basics. And on a more fun note, you could think about your deck and patio. If you have one, you know, power washing it or even restaining it. Or if it's still on your wish list, it's a big DIY project to take on potentially. But if you have the time, the talent, and the tools, you'll probably save a lot of money doing it yourself. Or you can always bring in a pro to get it done.
I got to tell you something, Bailey. As much as I think I can do things, I start doing them, and I realized I should have called a pro because it's never going to look perfect, and this is something that really should. Laying down a patio. Outdoor living is like a big subject matter these days. It's a whole term, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I think you can do big things and little things, and you're right. For those big things, it might be worth bringing in a pro.
Yeah.
For some simple things like container gardens, you know, you can probably handle it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, outdoor living is a big thing, and it's time to take a look at that. You have tons of different ideas. I know you do, and I know there's a place to go to find them.
Yes, absolutely. I'd encourage you to check out the Angi app or Angi.com for tons of project ideas, cost estimates, and access to local expert pros. And in addition, to help you get started on all your spring projects, we'd love to offer $20 off your next home service booked and paid through Angie. And you can get that by using the promo code HOME.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, I may be weird, but I'm not a big believer in do-it-yourself unless you've done it before, because it's a terrible way to learn something when it's your property at stake or your apartment or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, that's where I'm coming from. All right, how do we follow Bailey Carson? Well, that'll do it for me today. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day no matter what you decide to do. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.